On this episode, we recap what happened during the last 5 days in Marseille at another stop of the DreamHack Masters Tour. Today is Monday, April 23rd, and I hereby welcome you to the first episode of the Monday Morning Esports Talk. I am DT. And I am the host of this show. Thank you very much for joining me. Today, we will recap what happened in Marseille, where another iteration of the DreamHack Masters took place in the last few days. And we will start at the end and first talk about the two finalists. And when we start talking about Astralis, then we can say that this may very well be the best form we have ever seen Astralis, or at least have seen them in a long time. Most certainly we have not seen them better since their major win at E-League Atlanta at the beginning of last year. Their ability to be a cohesive unit during every second of the round has always been their biggest strength, but it seems that they have been able to rekindle this aspect of their game, which they haven't done in the last few months, and they had a lot of problems with sorting out roles, and there was this period where Device wasn't their AWP anymore, and then now he's again and stuff like this. They weren't really this cohesive unit that we knew them to be, and like I said, they have been able to rebuild this now with Magistin lineup, and now this is paired with great individual player performances. Just looking at the stats, four of their players are in the top six. Only Dupree dropped out after the final. Before the final, all of the five players were in the top eight, and this is crazy that every player was able to perform at this high of a level. And it's talking about something else that hasn't been there before. Their pistol round win percentage has gone significantly up during this tournament. They before the final they were at 11 out of 16 pistol rounds. Versus Na'Vi, they lost 3 of 4 pistol rounds, so it kind of went down, but this is still significantly better than their sub 50% win rate they used to perform at. What I personally find very interesting when thinking about the performance and the future are really two things. One is that they didn't really struggle during this tournament, or they kind of, I don't know. Well, they lost against Team Liquid on Mirage, 14-16, but they won every other map, and they didn't really. I think they went to double. They allowed their opponents to go to double digits only twice, or three times. I don't know. I'm not really quite sure. I think three times. I think versus Na'Vi on Inferno, then versus FaZe on Mirage, and Fnatic on Mirage. I don't know if that's true, but. This is if my memory serves me correctly, and this is what happened. And on every other map, they kind of stomped their opponents. So that means that they didn't really have to go deep into their strat book in order to turn games around, or I don't know, to go into very very important situations to have something new planned. So they kind of went through the games with their standard playstyle. And this is why going into IEM Sydney, they of course will be the Hunter team again now, just like after their major win where they kind of struggled with that role. But especially looking at IEM Sydney, or looking at IEM Sydney specifically, it won't be such a problem that the other teams will start to study their in-game behavior, because they didn't really have to give anything away, or at least they wouldn't have had to give anything special away. And then looking now at what Valve announced, that Cobblestone is out of the rotation, and Dust2 said it again. And especially for Astralis, also for FaZe and Mouse, but especially for Astralis, this will be hugely beneficial, because they permaband Cobblestone every time. And now with this map out of the rotation, this will definitely give them another layer to their game. One question that I ask myself is if we were able to predict this. The answer that I came up with is maybe, because the last time we saw them offline was in Katowice, and they went out in the semifinals versus FaZe, but they had a pretty okay showing until then, and afterwards they pretty much wrecked every other team in online matches. I believe they had had some sort of like a win streak of, I don't know, 9 or 10 maps going. And they really only went 0-2 against one team. And funnily enough, this is Na'Vi, the team that we will talk about next. But yeah, we could have. This is the answer that I came up with. Maybe we could have. I don't know if we should have, because as everyone knows, online matches are sort of like, I don't know, something that shouldn't really go into offline prediction, but maybe we could have. And now let's talk about Na'Vi, the second finalist. And first of all, before the tournament started, we had a poll on Instagram, as we often do, so follow us if you don't, where we asked who believed that Simple would pick up the HLTV MVP medal. And many people agreed at the time with that sentiment, and as it turns out, they were right to do so. Just like 2 months ago at StarLadder in Kiev, he picks it up while being on the losing team, which in itself is crazy in my opinion, but well, they didn't really have a choice, did they? Simple is the best player in the world right now, and in the course of the tournament, he had a 1.52 rating, he had almost 100 ADR, and these are crazy stats. He also had 1.66 KD ratio, which is unheard of. And talking about his performance in individual maps. In the finals, they lost Nuke to Astralis with 4 rounds. They only won 4 rounds. And, well, who led the leaderboard in kills? It was Simple with 22 kills. He even had more kills than any Astralis player, which is, this is just crazy. And the question that should be on everyone's mind is, of course, how can a team not win tournaments with a player of that caliber on their team? And, well, for this tournament specifically, the answer can only be found in Astralis dominance. I don't think that any team in the current state of being the team that they are would have been able to stop Astralis in the finals, or well, throughout the course of the tournament itself. We saw that they played many teams, so it wasn't like Na'Vi was the only team that couldn't hang with them. But now looking at the bigger picture again. How much is Na'Vi holding Simple back? And this is a question that is very very interesting to answer, because in Marseille now his supporting cast even somehow showed up. Electronic is the third best player, or he has the third highest ranking of the tournament field, and so it wasn't like Simple was a one-man show this tournament. He of course somehow he still is because of how good he is, but like I said, Electronic was the third highest rated player in the tournament, so he showed up as well. And he Simple now talking about Simple again himself. He himself uses almost every opportunity in front of a camera to stress how much he believes in his team, and that he wants to show that together they can get even better results. He said this in the post-match interview with the guys from the desk, and he said this to HLTV after the tournament as well. He believes in the team, he believes in the players, and he believes that they can get these tournaments going. But in my personal opinion, however, this all feels a little bit like LeBron James's first stint in Cleveland, where he somehow managed to drag the Cavs through the playoffs. Once through the Eastern Conference, and then he lost against the San Antonio Spurs, and afterwards he got wrecked by, or they, I shouldn't say he, they got wrecked by the Orlando Magic, and it was like he dragged them like by himself almost, kind of like he tries right now, tries to drag the team by himself, just like Simple kind of did before this tournament. And then afterwards, if the, some place at some place or at some time, this can't be enough. this can be enough to win tournaments and this can be enough to win championships. And it will be interesting to see if Electronic can keep up the good work he was able to show in Marseille, if any one of the other players. Edward kind of showed up in the group stage, but afterwards he got quite a bit. Then Flamie, kind of like the same. He showed up in the quarterfinals, and other than that, he was kind of quiet. Zeus was sometimes even the third best player on the map, or the third best Navi player on the map, which shows that there's the possibility for the players to show up, but they have to be more consistent, and they have to be a little bit better even. Not even more consistent, only more consistent. They have to be a little bit better even. But if they can keep it up, especially if Electronic can sort of like become the second best player on the team in like a consistent fashion, then maybe they can go all the way in one of the next tournaments. It will be interesting to see how they will be able to cope with this, and will be, like I said, interesting to see how they will perform. And they have in another week they will have another performance, they will have another chance to perform and show what they can do. Let's now quickly talk about some of the other performances and their implications, and let's start with G2. And on Wednesday I said that going out in the group stage wouldn't be the worst thing in the world for them, with FaZe and Cloud9 being in their group, but the way they went out kind of proved me wrong. Losing to NVRs like that is inexcusable, and it should have repercussions in my opinion. Losing to Cloud9 in overtime can always happen, but losing to NVRs, like I said, is inexcusable. I also said on Wednesday that I personally didn't believe in the changes they made from the beginning, and I think that it will only be a matter of time before Shox will return to the lineup, and this experiment with MBK as the in-game leader will find its end very soon. That's what I believe. Now on to another team that went out in the group stage, SK Gaming. And, well, they lost to a revived NIP in a best of one, which, again, can always happen. And the tournament favorites going to the tournament, which were Mouse Sports, which in itself isn't too discouraging, but kind of like with G2, the way they lost these games is worrying, in my opinion. Stewie gave an interview for HLTV during the tournament, and he talked about communication problems between him and CodeZera in particular. And even from looking at them play, it was glaring that the synergy the team had with Taco and what made the team, especially CodeZera, so strong was not there. And understandably so, of course. They are calling in a different language. They're calling in the second language of like four of these five players. And it makes sense that the synergy with after playing with a roster like that, or with the core and with the core implications of having that roster for so long. Like I said, okay, well they changed Bolts and they changed Phelps and FNX and stuff like that, but they always spoke Portuguese, and they always had sort of like the core, like I said, implications of the roster and core values of the roster were always the same. But now they aren't, and it makes sense that there's some sort of like a transition period. And well, now again, similar to G2, I wouldn't have made these roster changes, or I would have made a roster change, but not the one that they have made. But I don't think that this can work out. It will, however, take a lot of time for the players to adjust to the situation, for them to find common ground on the maps, and build some sort of blind understanding, which one has the feeling was the case between CodeZera and Taco, and it definitely isn't the case with Stewie 2K now in the lineup. And of course, like I said, it isn't. It will be interesting to see how they will show up in Sydney, considering they don't really have enough time to work on these core problems that they have. And maybe they will prove us wrong and say that this kind of was a fluke, and they can definitely perform better, which they can. They showed that online, but like I said, it will be interesting to see how they will perform in Sydney next week. Now, to close out the DH Masters talk, onto the number one and number two teams in the world and why they had to strike their colors so early, and we will start with FaZe. For them, well, it looks like they haven't really found their footing with Exist just yet. And to be fair to them, they really only played against Envy, who they crushed, against Cloud9, where they lost both maps very narrowly, and Astralis, who like I said it before, almost walked through the tournament without any problems whatsoever. And I think that we will have to wait and see how they perform in Sydney to draw any more conclusions. Of course, losing all of my soul is always a tough task to cope with, but it will be interesting, like I said, to see how they will perform in Sydney. And then afterwards, I think we can talk about what this might mean for the future of the team. And for Mousesports, however, this was supposed to be their tournament to shine, but shine they never really did. They struggled versus Valiance early on, lost to NiP or NIP, and well, okay, they stormed the weak SK, but afterwards got dominated by Simple Flame and Electronic, and this definitely wasn't on the cards before. Like I said on Wednesday as well, I predict them to go to the finals, and well, I have been burned by that. But well, there has been some talk about bad practice and some health problems with the players. We all know the problems Stiko had with his tooth, and maybe this is why they couldn't perform to the highest, which is really unfortunate because, like I said, this was their tournament to shine. They were the favorites going in almost, and this would really have been a good chance for them to make the placeholder team talks go away. Because everyone's or many people are saying that they only perform that well because every other team is in a transition period, and they are kind of fortunate to be in that period now where they made their roster changes before and they found their footing. But they will also, after these teams are back in the driver's seat or back with regularity around them, then the Mousesports will go away, and they will have to show this. They will have to show how they are planning to rebound from this performance now. Hopefully they can fix their health problems if there were any going into next week, but it will be interesting to see how they will perform in Sydney. But like I said, like this tournament was their chance to perform very well and get another win going. And well, they missed out on that chance, but it will be interesting to see how they plan to perform in Sydney, or how they will plan to silence these placeholder team talks. We will now quickly look at what's scheduled for the week ahead. And on Saturday, we will have a Summer Splits 2017 finals rematch in the LPL when Edward Gaming faces Royal Never Give Up, also known as Clearlove versus Uzi. Will Uzi finally be able to break his finals curse, or will Clearlove and EDG play spoiler once again? This is a question that we will answer next week after it happened. At which point, we will also be able to do a small preview of IEM Sydney, which, like I mentioned before, is right around the corner. But for now, this is the end of this episode. We know the drill. If you have any questions, suggestions, or other remarks, please let me know on social media. As always, all the important links are in the show notes of this episode. Again, thanks for tuning in, and I will catch you guys next week. See ya!